Hi, short film fans. Welcome to the Cameo Launch Short Film Showcase. I'm Nigel Morgan, your host, and this episode, we've got a fantastic interview with Josh Mann, writer, producer, and star of the latest addition to the Cameo Launch Short Film Cinema, Frederick. This film is part of our review showcase, which means you can stream it for free right now by heading to cameolaunch.com/cinema. Naturally, as part of our review showcase, we posted a review to this film, which you can find at cameolaunch.com/reviews. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to remind you to like this video, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications of more of our video content. Additionally, if you're catching us via our podcast, please subscribe on any of your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart, and many more. You can pick the platform of your choice or listen directly by coming directly to our podcast page, cameolaunch.com/podcast. And don't forget to follow us on the socials as well, at Cameo Launch on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, Frederick is a tense mystery thriller following the title character, an obsessive artist working towards a masterpiece that will ensure that he is remembered. At the same time, a number of young women start to go missing, and a grizzled NYPD detective zeroes in on Frederick as the prime suspect. Josh kindly took the time out to talk about the creative forces behind the film and his experiences juggling roles as writer, producer, and playing the title role. We also get some insights into his collaboration with the film's director, Tracy Hayes. But before we get into the interview, take a look at the trailer for the film right here.
The fact that people call this art, what's wrong with our society? Even the name of the show, it's so pretentious.
You remember the missing body? Well, one of our guys found a knife down there at the scene. Now, forensics said that it was crafted out of a paintbrush.
Paintbrush?
Every man is a creature of the age in which he lives. Very few are able to raise themselves above the ideas of their time.
NYPD!
I'm in the middle of a session.
Where's she smiling?
It's a wound caused by making small cuts on the corners of her mouth.
Keep smiling.
In the 1940s, a Nazi officer visited Picasso's studio in Paris. While standing in front of the painting Guernica, he said, "Oh, it was you who did this." And Picasso said, "No, it was you."
What do you want?
To be remembered.
So, joining us on the Cameo Launch Short Film Podcast this week, we have Josh Mann, writer and star of the newest film to grace the Cameo Launch cinema page, Frederick. Josh, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Fantastic. And firstly, congratulations on a wonderful film. It was it absolutely just blew us away over here. It was intriguing in all the right ways. It you know, it led you down paths you didn't expect to go on, and it was just exquisitely put together. It was just an all-around blast to watch. So congratulations on the film. Very well written, very well acted. So I'm sure you and the rest of the team are very, very proud of it.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice of you.
So just kind of jumping into the film's origins.
Yes.
What was sort of the genesis for that idea?
Well, you know, it started as a short story I wrote in college. And it was just based on, I think in college, the teacher wanted us to write about an obsession or and I just picked a character that I was kind of obsessed with. Just this character I came up with. It was based on a few different people, and it was just, I invented him. And that was the genesis of the idea and the character. And then what ended up happening was many years later, like dating myself, I always wanted to do a film about this character. But when I wrote the original story, I based another character on myself that was a lot younger, like this like college kid who was obsessed with that Frederick character. But then about, you know, a little later in life, I was like, I think I'm old enough to play Frederick. So I was like, now it's time to do it. So yeah.
Excellent. It worked out really well. So had you been studying theater, drama, acting throughout? Was it something you fell into after you got into writing, or were you developing those disciplines kind of at the same time?
So I started in theater. I started in theater in New York. You know, I went to Sarah Lawrence, and it was like a theater program. You know, I did off Broadway, all that stuff in New York, a lot of Shakespeare. And then when I was back in LA, I'm from LA, but when I was back in LA, I started writing more. I had been writing short stories, but I hadn't written films so much. I was just sort of playing around and not, you know, feeling too scared to put it out in the real world, not confident enough about the writing. So I started writing and making my own projects. So I made a few other shorts before this one. But then when I realized I was old enough to play Frederick, I'm like, I think it's time to do Frederick.
Right. So, yeah. Amazing. So this had been kind of bubbling in the back of your mind for a while and just kind of waiting for the right opportunity to come along.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had been acting the whole time, just in different, sometimes theater, sometimes film, just whatever came my way, I suppose, or whatever opportunities I was trying to create for myself.
Because it does seem like something that is, without meaning to state the obvious too much, is very much based in a person that lives and dies with their art.
Yeah.
And in as much as that person seems to be, you know, obsessive, essentially, about what they do and wanting to be remembered, there are sort of aspects to that character that less intense artists would perhaps see some of themselves in as well, I picked up on. Was it something that you drew on internally, or is it something that you'd kind of observed in people that were very immersed in self-expression and showing people how they see the world, essentially?
Well, I love that question, first of all. So I'm excited to answer it. it was a little bit of both. Right. Initially, it was based on a few people, but one of them wasn't even an artist at all. So I sort of created this, I guess, weird alter ego or something that was just based on a little bit on the people, but also on just imagination. Just, you know, the character started to, like, what would feel right? Oh, it feels like his name would be Frederick. Oh, it feels like he would own an art gallery. Oh, maybe he's a painter too. You know, just, it would just sort of grow from that. But then when I started making the film, like when we got into it, and when I was writing the short, there were aspects of myself in it, but also a lot of artists as well. Because what I would do is I started going to art galleries to prepare for the film, and I would just hang out. And I'd go every week. For the whole pre-production, I was just, you know, for months and months, I would just go to these art galleries and hang out and watch people, observe people. And I'd hear things and be like, oh, that should go on the film. Or I would talk to people, that should go on the film.
Right.
Like, there was this guy who was like, he said this line about the art sees you, you don't see the art. And I loved that line, but I don't know that it made it into the film, but it was stuff like that. Or there were quotes, you know, the Rothko stuff.
The Picasso one was an interesting one as well.
Yeah, the Picasso. That was from research. I heard it somewhere when I was doing research. I think it was an audio book, or I don't remember. But yeah, so I guess a combination of everything, a little bit of me, a little bit of other artists, a little bit of the wonderful greats, you know, everything.
Yeah, it was really interesting because there's also kind of an interesting, not to use the word juxtaposition too much, but
no, okay.
But there is a juxtaposition between the sort of chaotic expressiveness of an artist trying to get their art into the world and have it validated, which bumps up against the very rigid structures of law and order, with the detective that is investigating Frederick as well. So you kind of have those kind of extreme parallels of extreme order and no order at all, and this kind of battle for supremacy. Was that an intentional sort of dichotomy that you saw within the story, or was it something that just kind of organically grew out of what you wanted Frederick's art in the story to be?
I think, once again, a little bit of both. I think what happened was it all started with this character and like what, and then later on, I think I came up with that concept later, the whole with the detective. Because initially, I don't know that there was any crime. It was just this character. It was just this character who was weird and strange and eccentric, and he wanted to do something different or crazy. It occurred to me that this cop, this law and order cop who does things by the book, who's very, everything's black and white. He's the antithesis of Frederick. So I thought it'd be really interesting to get them in the same room. And then with the, I think once I had that that idea for that performance art piece, once that came in, the cop came in, I did want to juxtapose their personalities and their characters, but maybe some of the stuff you were saying was just organically out, came out of that.
How much of Frederick's motivations are kind of driven by his need to be seen?
I think it is driven entirely by his need to be seen. He's a narcissist. He's narcissistic. In his mind, he just wants to do this piece and, you know, blow people away. And yes, what you said, be seen for doing something great and to be remembered for it. Because I think he's fed up with authority. I think he has an authority, like a complex about authority figures and about being told what to do and what he can't do and all that. So, and I guess there is a little bit of personalization where maybe it's representative of my experience as an actor. So there were a lot of things coming through, a lot of things. And I think that's what made me so passionate. There was this character I've been working on a long time who I was always interested in doing. The art, my connection to visual art. I always loved visual art. My mom was a painter. And then the acting thing is a good connection. But I also love art. So my passion for art also was there. There was a little bit of a triple thing going on.
Right. It's interesting how things all kind of feed into each other. Because also,
you mentioned
authority and how Frederick's sick of authority figures. Because there's also those authority figures within art as well. You know,
people who
dictate this is good art, this is pretentious, this is no good, this is fantastic, and you know, people who are quite often are not actually artists. And having the way his work is perceived be filtered through somebody who isn't presumably an artist. For context for anyone watching or listening, the film opens with a scene with a critic being quite negative about Frederick's work, which kicks off the story. You have this sort of authority figure within the art world, and that kind of leads into Frederick's ongoing clash with the ultimate authority figure, a police officer.
Right.
Was that sort of an intentional connection, or is that something I just kind of read into it myself?
Maybe, I hate to be redundant, maybe a little bit of both.
Right.
What happened was I had written most of the film, and then one night, I don't know what it was, something just struck me. I was like, I got to put an art critic in here. And I wrote that scene. I just wrote that scene, and this is the beginning of the movie. That's it. So it actually came later, and it felt like it was a good starting point and something that launches the whole story. But yes, I think it maybe happened in terms of the connection you're making between the critic and the police officer. I think maybe that wasn't as intentional as you're saying.
Okay.
But now that you mention it, it just sort of fit. I think I intuitively did that, but then conceptually it did work.
Because it's kind of a logical catalyst for his journey. The way things kind of progress, he becomes more and more insular, focused, and even to the point of being hostile, really. In the pursuit of what he's actually trying to get done. So all of this is filtered through the brilliant eye of the film's director, Tracy Hayes. So how was it that the two of you came to work together? How did you meet? How did she become involved with the project?
So I met her in an acting class, but she wasn't acting. She was just there as a director, learning and observing. And I've been in lots of acting classes in my life, and usually I haven't seen many directors come in to them. So I was impressed that, a director would come and be so interested in the actor's process. And so we got to be friendly, and we went, I asked her if she'd meet with me, and we went out to coffee, and I told her about my project, and she was really into it. And she's also a production designer.
Okay.
So, and this movie was very heavy with production design because there's so much art to coordinate. And I mean, actually these paintings were both in the movie, these two.
Yes, I recognize those.
So I wanted someone, because I don't have a lot of experience with production design. I mean, I directed a short that had a lot of production design, but I wasn't the production designer. So I thought that this movie really needs somebody who understands production design, mm-hmm. art direction, and art and all that, and acting. And that's a really rare, I think that was a rare find. So I was really excited when I met her and got her involved because of, for those reasons.
The reason I keep coming back to this kind of ongoing conflict between Frederick and the detective is because it's framed so well around that. And, mm-hmm. you know, you see the detective kind of come into Frederick's world, as it were, and you can quite clearly, almost through both the visuals and through the performances, shows that they're looking at the same thing and seeing two completely different things. They're both looking at the world and seeing it in two completely different ways. So it's their worldview as a whole, which is kind of in conflict, as opposed to their sort of plot-driven needs, I guess. And she really communicates that really, really well. So in terms of her as director, what was her relationship with you as writer like, in terms of getting those themes across? Did she have the kind of relationship with you that made it absolutely clear how she was going to tell the story you had written? And then how did that translate into how you played Frederick?
Well, she's really great with actors. She understands the language, and she's good at giving suggestions of to try and to explore. Right. But I think a lot of the acting was done in prep because we didn't have a lot of time on set. It was a complicated movie to shoot, and there were a lot of moving pieces. It was very challenging. Yeah. But Tracy's good at giving you language that is actor friendly.
Right.
So she may have said one little thing here or one little thing there and just sort of maybe have freed me up. But I think the majority of the acting work was done in prep. It wasn't like one of those things where we improvised on set. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, because as you say, your time and resources are limited with a short film.
Absolutely.
I can imagine would mean having an actor-friendly director and somebody who is, you know, prepared to do all of that experimentation in prep that much easier, because obviously filmmaking itself is a logistical exercise, but it's there to capture an expression of art and of emotion and so on. Does the autonomy that comes with short film make it an attractive thing to keep returning to, or to get into as a substantial project?
That part of it is great. The freedom, the freedom is amazing. However, you know, I think with the shorts, it's just so hard to get the exposure that would be ideal. But it's a wonderful medium to experiment with. You know, I think all the learning I did as a filmmaker and as a writer started with shorts.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the sort of limitations of shorts, despite that, there is a very feature film aesthetic to it. I'd say there are probably very, very few areas of the film that suffer from those limitations. Generally, you know, it kind of has that feel. You know, you have those shots of New York, you have multiple locations, you have multiple speaking parts. How difficult was it to sort of coordinate all of that within the limitations of a short film project?
Well, it was interesting because this other film I did had way more locations and a lot more moving pieces. It was a bigger cast. So after having done that, I thought this will be easy, but I was so wrong. This was not easy because these locations were very specific. And we didn't shoot in New York, but it took place in New York. So we wanted it to look like New York. And, you know, I had a very specific vision for the Frederick's Loft and the art galleries. So it was very hard to find these locations. And it required a lot of resources. And there were a lot of moving pieces. We had another art gallery. And then we found out we couldn't shoot there like less than a week before shooting. And we had planned the whole movie for you know, for months around this location, this art gallery. Right. And then they said they booked some other big art show in there last minute. But the thing that's challenging about that is we had months to plan all that out. And now we only had 4 days to do it all over again.
Mm.
But we got very lucky. See, that's when you just have to have faith in,
yeah,
like the filmmaking gods or a higher, yeah, power or something. So I remember I was driving around LA till like midnight every night, or even later, you know, until I found this place. And I was calling and looking, and I found this place that actually worked out better. It was a better size.
Okay.
And it had art in the thing that we had permission to use.
Okay.
So it all worked out in the end.
You just kind of, when
one door closes, another opens. And that's very true in the filmmaking world. But to go back to your original question, I think it seemed like a simple shoot, but it wasn't, because there were so many things like that happening. There were a lot of curveballs being thrown at me on this film.
Yeah.
So just a lot of things that like, oh, now this, now this, now this. Whereas some of the other projects I did, I didn't have to deal with as many curveballs. But I just got lucky in those situations.
Mm. Yeah.
So
how many days was the shoot?
It was, I think it was 4.5 days.
Yeah. I mean, what you see on screen is, mm-hmm, is a lot to get into 4.5 days. And I think,
yeah,
when you have really, really good short films, there's a lot of time taken on the smallest details. So even,
yes,
when you kind of pare it down to a limited amount of speaking roles or a limited amount of locations, it's the individual minor details that really elevate the piece. I mean, maybe Tracy is better suited to answer this one, but from your experience actually on set and watching her work, how much was she focused on the nuances of each individual performance?
I think it was a collaborative process.
Mm.
I gave a lot of input on the nuances. Even though I was acting, we had a very strong vision for this. So we had to sort of work together to come up with everything. And because the thing had been living in my head for so long, I was constantly sharing with her this idea, that idea, this idea, this nuance. And I think she would take what I said and either try to capture what I did or what I said, or she would take what I said and, like molding clay, maybe mold it a little differently. Take the idea and shape it in a certain way. It's not the kind of film where you can just take a camera and go around and just shoot stuff.
Mm.
Everything was so nuanced and so detailed, like the hair of the model and the painting, matching the hair of the model on set and coordinating all the paintings. So I found this painter who lived on the East Coast, and we all worked together coordinating everything. Just working with the painter alone was a whole another story in itself. He painted a lot of stuff for us. He had to work quick with the cast members.
Okay.
Because we didn't know who's playing the role. So he couldn't start painting until we knew who's playing the role.
Right.
But then you're making offers, you're trying to figure all that out, and then you have to deal with agents and it's taking forever. And it's like, we have to figure this out or we won't get a painting, you know? So I think it was really a collaborative effort between all of us, that we had this brilliant artist. And there was a lot of nuance, and all of that came from the paintings, I think.
Right.
And the visuals and the production design. So I think we all worked together. The three, the painter, his name is Joseph Adolf. He's a brilliant, brilliant artist. And Tracy and me, and we're just all trying to work together to make it work. I think that made it appealing, though, the challenge of it. I love challenges.
Right.
And I've never made a film where, I'm going to make this simple short, or I'm just going to film someone in a room. I'm not knocking that. I just, for me personally, I get more excited the harder it seems.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes me a little crazy, or, you know, I hope that doesn't make me insane, but, you know, maybe some people think I'm nuts, but I love the challenge of like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to figure this out? And then coming up with a plan, it's a little bit like solving a puzzle in a way. How do we make this work? How do we coordinate all these paintings? How do we do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but then when you do it, it feels fantastic. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to just jump in on that. It makes perfect sense. I mean, because I think one of the great accomplishments of art is doing something that you didn't think you were capable of doing, or that you didn't necessarily have a roadmap of how to do. And a lot of the achievement, the sense of achievement from filmmaking often is wrapped up in the process more so than the actual film itself. More so than the actual outcome. It's a very, very interesting and deep sort of journey to examine as a film critic. And it's just a very immersive visual experience as a film lover as well. So it just works on so many levels for the intended audience, and it's just a great experience to have. As a bit of a tangent. Have you found that there are more or less options to get things like this made as a result of the pandemic?
It seems more challenging. Well, maybe less so now, but like during when the pandemic was more, I mean, the pandemic's still going on, but not to the same, before the vaccines and stuff, there was less productions.
Yeah.
You know, during lockdown. And I think it was harder to get things made then because you had all these COVID restrictions and it needed a lot of more planning, a bigger budget, you know, just for the COVID stuff alone. So I think the smaller projects really had a hard time. Filmmaking is challenging enough, and then throw in the pandemic and it's even more challenging, you know, on a whole new level. Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping that these things don't become a roadblock to you and your future projects. We look forward to seeing all of the projects that you're working on at the moment. And thank you once again. Fantastic film. Thank you for sharing it with us. And thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk about it with us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this interview. You're really great at this. And I really appreciate the kind words and the opportunity and everything you said. This was a lot of fun.
Great. I had a fantastic time as well.
Oh, great. And, great.
Yeah. Hopefully we get to do it again with the next one.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Josh.
Okay, my pleasure.
That was Josh Mann, writer, producer, and star of Frederick. As we mentioned, you can watch Frederick right now for free on our cinema page, cameolaunch.com/cinema. We have also included a link in the description for you. Well, that's it for our episode. Our thanks to Josh for taking time out of his day to talk to us about this film, and our thanks to all of you for your continued support. If you haven't yet subscribed to either our YouTube channel or our podcast, please do. The links to both are in the description. Don't forget to hit the bell when subscribing on YouTube to ensure you get notified on all new videos. Go to cameolaunch.com/subscribe to get all of the details and subscribe to get on-demand access to all of the short films in our featured shorts collection for £3.99 per month. You can also rent individual shorts for 48 hours for a mere £1.49 each. We just added a new film called Prawn, a heist comedy about a waiter who runs away with the entire stock of live prawns from the restaurant he works in after discovering that they are cooked alive. We have a wonderful and diverse collection of titles, so please head to cameolaunch.com/cinema and check those out today. Thank you once again for joining us. We will actually be taking a bit of a break over the summer, but we'll be back with new interviews, new panel discussions with George and Nathan, and an ever-expanding library of amazing shorts for you to enjoy. In the meantime, enjoy your summer, especially as rules start to be relaxed. Continue to be careful, stay safe, look after each other, and we'll see you next time.